Bezat Hashem, v'siyata d'shmaya, we're in B'yam Darkecha on page Kanu 156. Knu, we're learning how to acquire Simcha. And we're in a chapter right now that's teaching us what are the preventions and what are the obstacles that prevent a person from getting to Simcha, right? First of all, last week we defined what is Simcha. Simcha is the feeling of shlemut, the feeling of completion, the feeling of wholesomeness, which can only be done by way of connecting to this only thing, only being, only power in the world that is whole, which is Hashem, Hashem Yitzbarach. And if you're not connected to that, then there's no way ever that you could feel it, because you will never be perfect, your actions will never be perfect. Nothing you do will ever be perfect. That's not to put you down, and it's not because you're not amazing. Because that's the reality of this world. Hashem's perfect, everything else is not. Right? That non-perfect thing, imperfect thing, connecting to the perfect, becomes perfect, right? And that's our goal. When we connect to Hashem, we become perfect. And then we started to learn about the things that could prevent a person from coming to Simcha, and it's this feeling of a failure, being a failure. Why? Because if it's about me again, then I'm never going to be perfect, and if I'm feeling myself, then I'm always going to feel failure, and it's going to be very hard to get to perfection and wholesomeness, and that causes a person to go into the opposite of Simcha, right? Another thing is Tsar Biglal Efsed, feeling that I lacked, that I missed out, right? And what's the way to fix it? To strengthen my emunah. Sometimes the Yetzer goes into a person and puts thoughts in his head of depression, about what was in the past, without letting him focus on the avodah of now. And it arouses this feeling of Efsed, of a loss. I missed out. באמת, מתוך הדברים שגורמים להפסד, השמחה, הדבר שעושה את זה באופן חזק מאוד, היא תחושת ההפסד והחמצה ברוחניות ובגשמיות. Right? And the truth is, from amongst the things that cause this lack of simcha, this lack of joy, one of the things that does it in the strongest, most consistent way possible, is the feeling of, I missed out. I missed the opportunity. I messed up. Right, whether it's spiritual or physical. V'itchushat meshateket mamash. It's a feeling that can completely paralyze a person. V'itofeset chazaket ha'adam. V'goremet lo atzvut v'chalishut adad. It grabs the person hard, and it causes a weakness of the mind, and really this depression, this melancholy that falls over him, and it even causes a person despair sometimes. Yehush. And this lack of an ability to keep pushing forward and to keep going. And specifically, when the person feels that he's the one that caused himself to miss out. Right? It's because of me I missed out. I was the idiot. I was the one that, you know, you start to put on yourself. And it appears to him, if I would have only done that or that, I would have received it, I would have succeeded, I would have, you know, I would have ascended, I would have done more. If I only would have done. Like, where does Rabbi Deutsch say all the time? Don't shoot all over yourself. Right? I should have done this, I should have done that. Don't shoot all over yourself. Right? Just live life. Azay adam magish me'od ra mize. A person feels horrible because of these things. Bifrat b'dvarim, specifically in spiritual things. Im be'emet shaga v'asa ta'ut. If a person really made a mistake, and now he lost something, right? Person lost what he lost. What is he going to do? He did a sin by mistake. He forgot Hashem for a moment, and he missed out. What's the advice? To do tshuva. To do tshuva. To return to Hashem wholeheartedly. To make a decision. What I did was wrong. I made a mistake. I admit it. I'm confessing it. I don't want to live like that. I know you're everything, Hashem. Boom. Your tshuva is done. That is the process of doing tshuva. That is literally the whole entire thing that you can do. Anything above that is beyond you. That's what the halacha writes out for tshuva, right? To regret what was, to confess what you did, and to make a resolution to try to act better, to not do it again, and to return to live with Hashem.
You still like get nervous about the resolution, because like, how could I make a decision never to do something again? And I read somewhere that just asking Hashem to help him not do it is enough.
Because that's the truth. It goes about the heart. This morning we learned in Nashik Academy about how do we arouse mercy in the world. Right, and the one way is that chesed. In chesed, you look at the world loving kindness. I just want to give. I want to give. I don't care who you are. You should receive, and it's all loving kindness. The other side of Deen says, no, you're a creation, like you received the Torah. You're responsible for your actions. Hashem created you. That means you're important. That means you're a creation that's worth something. I'm going to judge you according to what you do in the world. Comes Midat HaRachamim, the mercy in the middle, and says, listen, we want to give to everybody. We're not going to do such a crazy check of what is your all of your actions. We're going to check a little bit, but if there's a good explanation, we'll give you. The example I gave in the morning was a cop pulled someone over that was speeding. Not crazy speeding, not driving like a maniac, but like 10-15 miles over the speed limit on the highway. Pulls him over and says, why are you speeding? He says, listen, my wife's in labor, she's in the back seat. Oh, okay, no problem. What does the cop do? Turns on his lights and flies with him, right? What happened? Midat HaDin says, the guy broke the law. Ticket, points, suspended license. Comes Midat HaRachamim with the understanding, the ability to say, okay, what was the root cause of the action? The action happened, but what led to that action happening? Is there some kind of good there? Is there some kind of mistake that was beyond the person? Okay, let's forgive him. Why would we forgive him though? Because now he's back with Hashem. I said then, yesterday you were in the club and now you're in the Beit Midrash learning Torah. Right now you get judged according to what you're doing now. You're showing that you're back with Hashem. Ah, so it's back and forth. Yeah, I'm not perfect, I'm going to mess up again. But my job is just to be in godly consciousness. It's to come back to Hashem as much as possible. That's what tshuva is, to return. It's not to return and sustain, to settle. We're not told to settle, right? It's constantly, it's over shov, to return. So what's the idea? To go into emunah, to make tshuva, to do tshuva. And then to go into strongly into emunata yichud. The emunah, the loyalty and the knowledge and the recognition of the oneness of Hashem. To remember and to know consciously and to believe with clarity in the ability and the power that we have to do tshuva, and how immense the oneness of Hashem is, that He's in the good and He's in what appears to be bad. Meaning, after a person does tshuva, he has to go into complete bitul, to submit himself to the will of Hashem, to nullify himself, it's not about me, and to know that Hashem is so great that He can fix everything. And from within the bad, dafka from within that bad thing, yetzmiach tov, there will be amazing good things that come out of it, that grow out of that bad place, right? It's known, we use manure to fertilize a field, right? There's nothing better than poo to make things grow in the world, right? So, ki akol biyadayim shel Hashem yitbarach. Everything is in the hands of Hashem. Raku amenael v'asholet. Only Hashem is managing anything, is ruling anything. V'u manigu mavil et ha'olam letov ha'gamur. Hashem is taking the world to complete good. So then whatever was, was. Whatever was, right? It's in the past. Akol urak tov letov hagamur. Everything is just for the good. Ki akol menual biyadayim hachi tovot. Everything is managed by the best hands possible. And even though a person is in charge of his actions, he's responsible for what he does. And if you made a mistake, you have to fix it. Even though that's the case, after a person does tshuva and Hashem receives him to him, Hashem takes him back, He takes him in closer. And not only that, Azayu itbarach mechaper avon. Hashem cleans up the sin, the iniquity that was. Umetaken hakol, and He fixes everything. And He flips everything to good. Ve'od yitze mize tova gmura. Only good things will come out of that mistake afterwards. Kach she'achar ha'tshuva k'ra'ui, ein ma litzter al zeh. After proper tshuva, there's no point in being in being stuck, in being depressed, in being sorry, sad about what was. Lo yitzlech k'mo she'ratza, yismach b'chol k'tzat. You weren't successful like you wanted. Be happy with what you did get. Now we're gonna do that was the bad, right? Things that can prevent us and things that can make us lack of simcha. Now this is the part of asetov, right? It's known that in all the avodah that we have, spiritual avodah that we have, there's the aspect of sumira ve'asetov. Go away from the negative and do the good. Right? For example, in Malchut is to be happy with your emunah and to pray and to be loyal to Hashem and to talk to Hashem. And the opposite of that is depression and laziness and not wanting to do anything and not getting up out of bed, right? So there's always these two sides. This side now is asetov, the good side. What should you do? It's found by people that are coming to connect to Hashem that they have great aspirations. And if they see that they're not successful like they expected to be, then usually we see that the Yetzer Hara is trying to push them into depression and to be sad. And he says to them, look how much you're lacking. And how far away you are from perfection. In quantity and quality, you're far away. Right? And so he comes and he tells you, oh, lo etzlachta karui, v'ze siman she'enecha efshavut letzlech. You weren't successful like you should have been. That's a sign that you can't be successful. You'll never be successful. And he comes and he tries to weaken your consciousness all the time. But the truth is the exact opposite. Because you have to be appreciative and hold an importance and give value to every single small success along the way. And to be filled with simcha on any little bit that you merited to serve Hashem Yitbarach. You managed to connect to the infinite, that's infinite. You should be happy about that. It's a little bit, but it's infinite. You touch the infinite, you touch infinite. It's worth to be happy about. V'lo lachshov al ma shechaser. Don't think about what's lacking right now and what you didn't merit to get to yet and the lack of perfection. Only to be happy and to thank Hashem constantly on every single little thing that you merited to do. Because in every small thing, the smallest thing possible, you already merited to cling b'chaye ha-chaim, to the life of lives. And that's the purpose of everything that we're down here to do. And even though for sure you have to have aspirations, right? And you have to mamash, self-sacrifice and push with your whole entire soul to reach those goals. To want, to merit, to get to the highest levels possible. To all the parts of the Torah, right? Pshat, Remez, Drash, Sod, everything. You want to touch everything. And to cling to Hashem in all the different shades, in all the different depths, on the heights and the lows, and tefillah, and Torah, and mitzvot. With all that said, on the other side, you have to be completely filled with simcha and with gratitude to Hashem for every level that you get to, on every single letter of the Torah that you merited to read. You have to be besimcha. And whoever is looking for perfection and thinks that without this he has nothing to be grateful for, nothing to be happy about. If I haven't reached perfection, how could I ever be happy? What am I exactly grateful for? That's the biggest mistake, and it's extremely dangerous. It's put down a lot of people that thought of, you know, what do I have to be thankful for? I'm filled with sins. I'm filled with that. I can't even do this. I can't do that right. But that takes a lot of people out of the game, right? A lot of people fall there. The truth is, though, we have to be happy with every single etzlacha, even the smallest. V'dafka simcha zo hi epetach la'sagat yoter gvuot. That simcha in the small things, that is the gate. That's the opening to the bigger comprehension, to the bigger achievement, to the bigger goals that you're trying to get to. It's the happiness in the small things, and the tzar, the pain of the opposite of that. That is the opening to all of the falling, to all of the things where, you know, the gateway drug, right? The gateway drug to all the sins in the world is not being happy with every small thing that you did do right. And the gateway drug and the good side, right, of therapy and of connection to of the light of life, the life of lives, is being happy about every small thing that you did do right. Even if it's one letter in the Torah. Right, there's people, there's Balei Tshuva that they're just learning how to read Aleph-Bet. Right? That's not a small madriga. Like in Kabbalah, Tanta, right? Like Ta'amim, Nekudot, Otiyot. These are the highest worlds of Kabbalah. The vowels and the cantillations and the letters. That's when you get into the world of Kabbalah, that's literally like nearly the last thing they start to teach you is those things. And who are the first people that learn it? 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds. And you go to cheder, what are they learning? Alphabet. They learn, they lick the honey off the letter, right? Only 60, 70 years later, they're going to understand bichlal, what was going on with that aleph and the chirik and the shuruk and all. So for the Baal Jubah in the middle of his life, and he's on that madriga, be real with yourself. That's where you're at right now, and be happy. And be extremely happy with every letter. You understand the value. You brought a new shorish, a 3-letter shorish into your vocabulary, and now you can understand 20 new words in Hebrew because you learned 3 letters. Right? That's how it works. Hebrew is that kind of language. So, Baruch Hashem, we have to be happy with everything. You see that you're not being successful at all, you have to go into the work of Bitul. Sometimes the Yetzer sees that a person is successful and he's being good, he's happy on every little small madriga. Then what does he do? He gives him this feeling that he's as if he's not successful at all. The more you grow, the Yetzer grows with you. He's not stupid, he's smart, he's extremely smart, right? So, you are managing now, you learned this. Okay, I have to be happy about every small step. You're going to start being happy about every small step. What's going to happen? You're going to feel like you're not making any small steps. Like you're going backwards, like you're not being successful. And it appears to you as if you're not moving forward. And by way of this, what's he trying to do? The Yetzer is just trying to put you down again into depression, into the opposite of simcha. What's the advice there? To go into the ahava, the ira, and the dvekut. Go into the love of Hashem, the awe of Hashem, the reverence of Hashem, and the clinging to Hashem. Because when a person has these 3 things, and a connection with Hashem, an emotional connection with Hashem, then he can't have depression and this lack of consciousness from anything, because he's connected to Hashem. He knows Hashem exists in the good and in the bad, and he's trying to connect to Him at all times. And any single time that a Jew sees that he has this weak consciousness and this pain, no. That he has to go in the strongest way possible into loving Hashem, having awe of Hashem, and trying to cling to Hashem. Until none of that can affect him at all, until it can't bother him. No lack of success could ever mess with you if you're clinging to Hashem, and you know that everything's from Him and that you're just a vessel. It can't take you off. And in a deeper sense, yikanes tamid lebitul, constantly you have to be in a state of nullifying yourself. It's not about you submitting yourself to the will of Hashem, to be happy with whatever Hashem does to you. Right? Then even if your goals and your aspirations didn't come into fruition, Hashem brought down a reality that's the opposite of what your aspirations were. It's His world. You nullify yourself to Hashem b'simcha. You're happy with whatever your Creator does. And a lot of Ovdei Hashem, they think about themselves. Is my service of Hashem according to the right way? Is it the right? Is it proper or not? Right? Am I doing the right thing in my service of Hashem or not? We ask this question. We should be asking this question. Am I successful or not? Am I ascending on the ladder or not? And by way of this, there's now a rule of depression on that person. Because why? And the end all be all and the truth of Avodat Hashem is everyone's extremely far. We're talking about Hashem. We're talking about God. We're all extremely, extremely far. Right? If there's some madrega, if there's some measure, take Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David, Shlomo, Moshe, Aaron, Shmuel, Natan, Eliyahu, Daniel, take all these tzaddikim that we learn about, take the next 3,000 years after them, 2,000 years after them. We're all extremely far, right? It's not about that. It's not about that at all. It's always going to appear that way. But when you merit to nullify yourself, and you start to go in and looking deeper at the light of Hashem and to contemplate the greatness of the King Hashem Yitbarach, and that a person, all he is just a vessel to reveal Hashem's light in the strongest way possible, that in the end becomes what you want to be. You want to be the vessel. You want to be the tool. Right? You won't have any free time to be dealing with yourself, to be thinking about yourself. Am I doing the right thing and not? Am I successful? Am I ascending? Am I doing... Who am I? It's not... Right? Whether it's spiritual or physical. Because with the light of Bitul, there's no nafka mina, there's no outcome that could change if a person is great or small. And if he's going forward and is he ascending in his work or not. Every single moment, Rosho v'rubo munachim labit ba'or pnei melech chayim. His head, the majority of his being, is just staring at the opportunity to try to grasp a little bit of the light of the face of the King, of the living King. His head, what is it occupied with? Seeking out, how do I feel the reality of Hashem? How do I take immense pleasure in being connected to Hashem? To reveal Him in the world, exactly how Hashem wants. And for sure, you need to have aspirations, you need to put in the effort, and you need to work. And you also have to check yourself certain times in the day. You have to make an accounting of your actions. But it has to be with Bitul. Before and after. Right? I am nothing. It's not about me. It's all about Hashem. Okay, how did I act today? Okay, Hashem caused me. Now it's all in the past, right? Hashem caused me to do that. Hashem caused me to do that. I could have prevented it. I could have this. I could have this. Okay, but now what do I do? Tshuva. Right? And then afterwards, Bitul again. It's not about me. It's over. My job is not to be besimcha in Hashem. I'm back with Him. Brand new page. Let's go. Let's start again. Aval chayvim she'elo bitul lifnei ba'achrei ad she'berov hazman, until such bitul that the majority of your time a person is dealing with godly light, and at any moment he's right. He's living out what's written in the Tanakh. Yismach Yisrael ba'osav b'nei tzin yigil b'malkam. Israel will be happy with their Maker. The children of Zion will be dancing with their king, right? Veze lo yifol. From there, from that point, you can't fall. So, a little bit more, we're pushing forward though. Yeush me'atid. Despair from the future. Another thing that could cause us to not be in a besimcha. Sometimes the Yetzirah puts inside a person these thoughts of despair and depression because of the future. Says to you, why should you start learning Torah? There's no chance you're going to finish it. There's no chance you're going to be successful. Why would you even begin? Or why did you, why put in so much might to get over this certain lust, this certain thing that you have a pull towards? For sure, you're never going to be able to conquer that thing, that lust that you have. You're never going to completely overcome it. Why are you trying to have Kavanah in your prayer, in your tefillah? Why are you trying to even have the simple covenant of the letters of the page? Trying to understand the Hebrew. Why are you even doing it? You're never going to be successful in doing a full Shmona Esrei. V'aderech lishkoach me'acheshbonot ha'elu, the way to forget all of these different calculations is, like we explained earlier, you have to think about the moment. It's not about the future, it's about now. Like it's written, Hayom im bekolot Yishmael. Today, if you listen to His voice, Mashiach will come. It's not about in the future, it's not about the past. When they ask, when's Mashiach coming? Today, if you do the right thing. And to understand, Shein kesher ben rega echad l'sheni. There's no connection between two different times. That event that happened and what's happening now, not kshurim, they're not connected. And any single moment that you need to do, you do what you need to do, you're connected to Hashem. If you're doing the right thing now, you're connected to Hashem. So this aspiration for the future has nothing to do with my avodah of now, what I'm meant to be doing now. At any given moment, Hashem is opening you up opportunities to connect with Him. And this exact moment, my geul afsid, why should you miss out on the moment now? Hashem just opened you a door right now, and right now again, and right now again, right now again. Why miss out? It's always happening. And the Yetzirah comes and confuses the person, and he should look at all the avodah as it's all one thing. The Torah is all or nothing, right? I did that, so I can't do this now. And it's not true, because the whole entire tachlit of our avodah, the whole entire purpose of our service of Hashem, is dveikut in Hashem, to cling to Hashem. And Hashem is a very merciful Father. At any moment, He's opening up the doors for every single Jew and a brand new opportunity to come close to Him. And the truth is, when you do get successful and you do overcome it and you take advantage of that moment properly, you'll for sure already see how there's more of an expansion. It starts to open up more and more for you. But even without that, any good movement, any good motion that you do in this world, it's its own individual action. That individual good thing that you did, it makes Hashem happy and allows you to connect to Him. So we have to know not to be focusing on the future. Right? Right now, just to be in the time, just to be right now. That's why halacha is from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to sleep. There's no part of the day that's left out in halacha. Right now, you can find out what should I be doing now. If you don't have what to do, go learn Torah. And that's it. Number one mitzvah. You're doing the whole entire Torah by going to learn. So there's never something that you could be without guidance. The Torah laid it all out for you, right? If you just do what you're asked to do now, you're connected to Hashem, and something worthy to be happy about. Next thing is chaserim lo dvarim, ha'itzai bitachon. Things are lacking in your life. The advice is clinging to Hashem. Sometimes a person feels depression because he's lacking a whole bunch of different things that he needs in his life. Everyone has their own thing, right? Money, woman, proper job, a house, a car, whatever it might be. One of the ways that the Yetzara brings depression to a person is by weighing reminding a person and arousing him to this thoughts of, and this feeling that all these different things that he wants and that are very important for him are still not, they're still delayed, they're still in the process, they still haven't come. And the way of getting out of this depression is by strengthening yourself in your emunah more and more and more. And believe, have full emunah, that for sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you everything that you need right now. In that moment, according to what you need at that moment to be rectified. And if Hashem Yitbarach doesn't give you what you want, it's a sign, that a clear sign, that for right now, that's not good for you to receive that thing.
It's always something. Like, I wanted to buy a house. Hashem let me buy a house, but until I bought it, it was like, I need to buy a house. Gotta buy a house. Must have a house. Why is it not happening? Why not? And then when I have it, I'm like, I want a bigger house. I want a bigger house. But like, it's always something. It's always like, and just anywhere you're holding in life, you could always feel what's missing, and you could always enjoy 100%. What you have.
100%.
It's always a choice.
100%. And the simcha is to know that if I'm connected to Hashem and He runs the world and everything's for the good and He loves me.
So
what I have right now is perfect, and then I'm able to be in happiness because I don't have any thought that's coming to make me know the situation's not good. Whatever Hashem does, it's only for the good. Complete good. We have to trust Him with a full heart. He only knows what's the He only knows what's the real good. And Hashem's the only one that can Hashem's the only one that can organize it to make it that it's only going to be good. And know that as long as a person is thinking and trusting in other people or in any other thing in this world, then he has the depression has a grasp on him. The only single place in the world that there is true happiness, complete happiness, is the place of full trust in Hashem. The only place of full happiness is full trust in Hashem. So another thing is a bad mood, matzav ruach ra, having a bad mood. The physical reality of this world is rooted in the element of earth, right? Afar. Therefore, the world, the physical world, is actually afar, right? Is earth. Mizemit labesh lefamim benefesh adam atzvut v'kvedut. Therefore, us, we were made from that earth, and we're going to return to the earth. So sometimes there is this hold in our soul, in our physical soul, right, of this feeling of depression and of heaviness, right? Because we come from this earth, which is that physical representation. All of those feelings of depression and heaviness, they are aroused from the element of earth that you have inside of you. We all have the four elements, right? And this is one of them. And it's known. What is the purpose of every physical thing in this world? To elevate it. Therefore, whenever the physical animal soul starts to come to depression, and a person feels this negative energy and this bad mood coming upon him, this is a sign that right now he has an arousal of Yesod HaAfar B'Tzad HaRa, the element of earth on the negative side. Right? Again, we all have the four elements inside of us. We're all made up of fire, earth, wind, and water. Right? They all represent different emotions. Everything is rooted in there. All of our emotions are rooted in there. Our depression and our hardship and this bad energy, this negative mood, right? This bad mood. What is happening there? One of the four elements that you have inside of you, which is the side of earth, on its negative side, it's being intensified right now inside of you.
What's a positive word?
Of earth? Humility, I would say, I think. Bitul. I guess, I don't know. I'm not sure 100%. But Tzirich miyadi kenes bekoach in simcha. An simcha. A simcha's fire, maybe. I don't know. In Avodat Hashem, it's Malchut, right? And they're already... depression and laziness, and the other side is Kabbalat Ol and Simcha and Emunah. On one side, I don't feel like doing anything. The opposite side of that is do what you... It's not about what you feel like. You're commanded to do it. Just do it. Right? And I feel depressed. I feel happy. I can't... When you're depressed, you can't talk to Hashem. When you're happy, all you do is talk to Hashem. Right? So it's like... It's Echmiyad Yikanez V'Koach Simcha. Straight away, when a person feels the element of earth waking up on the negative side inside of them, straight away you have to push yourself into joy and to elevate and to rectify this element of afar, of earth. We're nearly done, guys, nearly done. Nira lo shetfilato eino nishmat. It appears to you that your prayers are not being heard. Another thing that can cause a person to go into depression. What's the answer? Emuna. When a person prays for a certain thing that he needs, and he's praying and he's asking and all the different ideas in his life, the person sees that he's not getting answered. Then the Yetzer Hara comes to try to put a depression inside of him. And we have to know the way to fix it is to pray, to merit, and to beg Hashem in the way of Shevach, Bakasha, V'Shevach. Praise, request, praise. That's how your prayers have to be.
Is this like Rabbeinu, just in a different format?
This book? It's everything. V'yam Darkecha is Rabbi Shemar's Torah. It's based off of Rabbi Shemar, which means that it takes from... There's footnotes... I didn't read them, but there was just now footnotes from the Arizal, from the Mesilat Yesharim, from the Vilna Gaon, all backing up everything he's saying here. So you're hearing a whole bunch of different things, but that's why this book is so amazing, because it literally just looked backwards 4,000 years and said, okay... How do we make this all into a guide to clarify everything? That's why these books are so important. But yeah, a lot of it is Rabbeinu, because that's the Keter.
Especially this Nikudo.
Yeah, Simcha. If we're in the chapter of Simcha, come on, where are you going to pull from already in the last 3,000 years? So a person prays for something and thinks that they need, and he sees it's not getting answered. What happens then? You have to pray in a way of praise. Request, praise. Meaning, in the beginning you go into praise. What is that? Simcha be'elokuto yitbarach. Shema. Being happy in godliness. Of Hashem, blessed be He. To feel and to believe she'akol hachi tov v'hachi shalem. Everything's the best it could be. It's the most perfect that it's going to get. Because whatever Hashem does, He only does it for the good. And from that, when you come to pray, you're going to go into your lacks, and you're going to ask that the lack should be filled up, and you're going to request that Hashem should bring down Shefa and to fill up everything that's lacking. Kedei shiyeh gam tov hanira le'enenu, so that the good that we know exists should also be revealed to our eyes. And after your requests, you go back to praising, meaning believe outright, emuna shlema, and Hashem Yitbarach v'day na'ana elav v'kibel tfilato. Hashem for sure 100% heard you and He received your prayers, and understand that everything that comes out in actuality in this world, even though it's maybe sometimes not like you asked, it's only from the complete mercy of Hashem, that He's the only one that knows good in truth. And then what happens, even if you don't see that there's some kind of improvement in the situation, improvement in that area of your life, you're not going to think that your prayer was not accepted. You're going to believe, though, outright, fully, that Hashem is doing the good, the best possible. Not the best possible, because that's what He can do. Mm-hmm. He's doing the best possible, right? Nekuda, not the... Hashem is doing the best that is possible to do. And sometimes, the good is not what you exactly requested. The best thing right now is not what you asked for.
I always feel like it's the opposite. Like, if I ask Hashem to help me not get angry, the next day I'm just getting angry all day.
No, this is giving you opportunities to work on it.
But I'm not asking to overcome anger. I'm asking to take away from you the anger.
You're asking for perfection. There's no perfection.
That's the wrong question.
Right? And know also, not only that your prayers are accepted, and not only sometimes that your prayers get accepted and nothing changes in the physical reality, because that's not what the best thing is right now. But one thing is a klal gadol that we need to know. Tfilato tifal inyan acher. Your prayer will cause something else in the world to happen. No prayer goes up and doesn't have an action. It always causes something to happen. It might happen for Joe Schmo on the other side of the world, but you just caused geula for someone, right? You just saved someone's life because you prayed for the money to pay the bills. And then what happened? Someone got a kidney because of you. Yeah, 100%. That could completely be the situation. Every prayer has koach. You prayed on a specific thing, that thing doesn't change. That's the best that Hashem did. But you elevated up some deep words. What are you praying? In the end of the day, any lack that we have is a lack in the Shekhinah. We might ask on a low level, but on the true deepest level, if there's a lack, it's a lack in the presence of Hashem in this world. Right? Things feel that they're not complete. They don't appear like they're godly. So any prayer that we have to fill up our lacks is a prayer that the Shekhinah should be rectified. That might be expressed in a different part of the Shekhinah, a different part of Am Yisrael.
Is that the reason you aren't supposed to ask God for things for yourself? Ask for other people.
It's extremely high level to not ask for yourself. Maybe you should ask for others first, but you definitely have to ask for yourself. But the thing is, there is a certain level in Avodat Hashem that you're not asking for yourself for yourself. You're asking for the Shekhinah to be filled, to be revealed more, the godly presence to be revealed more in the world, and then that automatically would fill up your lacks. Meaning you understand that you're lacking because there's a supernal lack. And if the supernal lack were to be rectified, which makes the whole world a better place, then your life would automatically be improved. Very lofty level. It's something that we should all do, at least a little bit in our days, if we're going to go pray for ourselves and the things that we're lacking, to remind Hashem, the world's lacking you right now. Fill up you. You're lacking in the world. If you were to be revealed more, the whole world would be a better place. And maybe I wouldn't be asking for money, I would be asking for you. Right? But it's for sure. No, you do, though. On where we're at, we all have to be praying for ourselves, and we all have to be mamash 100%. That's also a way to grow your emuna, right? Rabbi Nachman says a person has to pray for a button on their jacket.
He also says someone else that the Yitzhahara gets you to pray for yourself.
Each what?
That the Yitzhahara is the one that tells you to pray for yourself.
For sure, for you completely, but you can always twist it. You can say, Hashem, it's not fitting that I'm your son, I'm walking around without without a button. The goy's going to see me, they're going to say, this scruffy Jew, yeah, I need a button, you know? You can always mix it up, right? But one thing's for sure, you shouldn't always be about yourself. It should never always be about yourself, because that's what this book says constantly to us in every single third line, right? It's not about you, you're just the tool, you're just the vessel, it's all about Hashem. So when we come here, we're putting in our mindset to realize so that we can download this energy when we leave here.
I mean, what do we say at the very end of tefillah? Asalaman Shmecha, Asalaman Yunach, Asalaman Teratacha.
Do it for you.
We were asking all for us, it was all for us. But why do we want it?
100%. Just to finish off this last line here, and we're done for today. לכן צריך לחשוב כלל. לא לחשוב כלל אם נעמתה תפילתו. You should never, ever, ever think, was my prayer accepted or not? Don't ever, it's a waste of your time. Use that same energy of the mental gymnastics to figure out if it was answered or not according to your actions and everything you did. Take that energy and go into being happy in godliness. Meaning take immense pleasure in the fact that you got to talk to Hashem. You stood in front of the King, the creator of the whole entire world. You actually had a conversation with Him and you're worried if He heard you or not. He's God. Come on, He heard you. He created the world. He is hearing. He is everything, right? It's not a relevant question. Go into the fact of joy that you had the opportunity to talk to Him and then things are going to start to turn around. Is that the... what? Excuse me? Is that the Shem? We can finish the chapter if we can push through. And then we don't have to do it next week. The last way is how to acquire... Thank you so much for the water. How to acquire Simcha. Right? Go ahead, Simcha. So there, we're going to be done soon. Try to remember. If you do remember, just hold on to it, okay? How do we acquire Simcha? Eliyahu, Bachutz, brother. Or downstairs. Simcha al-yadei torut ruchanit. Happiness, why? How? By way of arousal, spiritual arousal. Kol achad yachol ikanes l'simcha b'Hashem yitbarach, v'afilu kasher adam b'zman koshi. Anybody can go into happiness in Hashem. Even if a person is going through a hard time, he can and he must go into being happy about his own situation in his own life. And the way to get to simcha is by way of arousing the soul. Because atzvut, what is depression? It's a strengthening of the klipa. It's a strengthening of the husks, the things that cover up godliness in this world. And by way of strengthening the spirituality of a person, then you're able to go into joy, into happiness. And then, straight away, when the animal soul goes into depression, what do you need to do? Immediately you have to go into the power of simcha, into the thoughts in simcha. And by way of this, a person goes in to start to deal with the Torah, the Holy Torah. He can sing, and he can start to praise Hashem, all these different songs, and he can go do itbodidut, he can go seclude himself to talk to Hashem. Because at the core, what is he dealing with spiritually? You deal with spirituality, you come out of depression, you come out of physicality, you come out of klipa. And you go into the proper thoughts. Simcha, right? Besimcha, Rabbi Nachman taught us, besimcha is, like, in a state of happiness, is the letters, machshava, thought, right? Besimcha is machshava. So what do you have to do? You have to use your machshava, you have to use your thoughts to go into simcha, to contemplate, and to be happy with the reality of Hashem, and the oneness of Hashem, and all of His goodness. Simcha be'elokut, happiness and godliness. And by way of that, I'm a part of Hashem from up above. Chelek Eloah mimamal mamash. Beno Ahuvo Shal Hashem Yitbarach, the loved son of Hashem. Shohev Oti Lelo Gvul Uvo Boteach Libi. He loves me without any measure, without any limitation, and my heart is trusting in Him.
Someone wants to ask me why we just naturally get sad, but to be happy you have to work really hard. And I don't know how to answer it, but like, I feel like this is exactly that.
We're naturally klipa. We're naturally, if we think we're the natural body, right? If we focus on nature, then that's the reality we're going to experience.
Like, well, animals aren't naturally sad. It's something spiritual, sadness. Like, animals just
no,
live.
Because but we're not animals. We have a godly soul.
Our body is an animal, and we have a soul that's supposed to elevate that body.
So now we have a soul.
We are a soul. But
so when we as a soul start to get too covered up by the klipa, which is the body.
Okay, but the body isn't naturally sad. Look at animals. They're not
naturally
afar.
Sad. It's rooted in afar. Afar is depression. We just said this.
Maybe it's because we recognize that we have the potential to be more than just the body.
The animals, exactly what he's saying. It's exactly what Rabbi Aaron is saying. The animal doesn't understand that he could be more than that. He doesn't have these thoughts. Animals don't have thoughts like that, right? They just eat and sleep and do what they need to do. They don't have a thought, oh, I could be working a better
job.
There's
no potential for shleimus. There is no recognition of chisarim. Right? But as soon as you have the potential to connect to something that's shalim,
that's what makes you sad.
Then being in the state of chisarim, not connected to that, you feel it.
Right.
By way of these thoughts, a person go deeper and deeper with emuna and love and dveku to Hashem. And by way of this, you'll merit the simcha. You have to merit to it, right? Even if you don't feel simcha in every place, the main thing is the root. Sometimes a person feels joy and feels tranquility inside them. And from these holy thoughts, right, from the power of these holy thoughts, he starts to feel it. But this starts to, it doesn't get expressed in actual emotions, right? He knows in his head, but it's not, he doesn't feel simcha in his heart. You have to know that the main thing is in the root. And a lot of times, the beginning is in this concealed, hidden way. And that is just this, the yirak simcha pnimit, it's just this internal simcha. The simcha that comes into the whole entire body, right, simcha mugeshet b'ofin chai, when you have a living, felt vitality of simcha, that will come afterwards. It's like a chatan v'akala, right? The chatan and the kala, if you look at them underneath the chupa, they're the happiest people there. But what are they doing? Crying their eyes out, and they don't know what to do with themselves, right? Afterwards, the chatan dances more than anybody, right? He keeps going, and everyone pulls him around, and he has the, where does that koach come from? Because afterwards it spreads out to the whole entire body. In the beginning though, it's in this concealment, right? It's in this quiet way. The main thing that you have to seek out is the root. Right? It's this point of happiness in the most internal part of your thought. And if you merit to that, to feel internal happiness, simcha in Hashem, with emunah in Hashem, then even if you still haven't felt, right? Even if you still feel sad, you feel depressed, the emotion in your heart is still a negative one, that's okay. Because even the finest thought can spread out and expand afterwards until there's going to be complete simcha, b'zat Hashem Yitbarach. Therefore, you can't put down any level. Like we said earlier, right? What's one of the ways to simcha? Is to appreciate every level. Every small thing that you do, every letter of the Torah could spread out to become a whole entire world, a whole entire universe. You have to be happy with and give importance to every small part. The main aspects of sanctity are dependent on the first levels, the first steps that you take, the internal work that's been done. And afterwards it gets revealed outwardly to you. And all of us started with learning a little bit of Torah, talking to Hashem a little bit, and now we look the way we look, right? That's an external expression, are you? That wasn't the beginning. You don't chop your hair, make peyot, and then become a Shomer Torah Mitzvah Jew, right? It's an internal thing first, and then it gets expressed outwards. Nearly done. Ma'ase simcha chitzonim. External expressions, external actions of simcha. Even though simcha is an internal thing, and the main way to get to simcha is by way of machshava, is by way of thoughts. Even though that's the case, sometimes we have to use external ways to open up the happiness of the heart. Meaning, actions that cause simcha, like a nigun that makes you happy, or dancing, something like that. Like it's known, ha-ma'asim nimshachim ha-levavot, achar ha-ma'asim nimshachim ha-levavot, right? After the actions, the hearts are pulled. And if you smile, or if you sing a nice, beautiful nigun with your mouth, or if you just even listen to nigunim and you dance, and you start to talk emuna, you start to talk simcha, that will cause an internal arousal of simcha. Like we found with Elisha. Elisha was the main student of Eliyahu Navi, that he was in a great pain because there was a rasha with him. What did he say? Kuli minagen. Take from me a musician. Kinagana minagen, v'tiyah alav ruach elokim. As soon as the musician started to play his music, the spirit of God came down on the prophet. Right? Prophet had some wicked person with him. It caused him pain. Bring me a musician. Musician starts to play simcha. Godly experience. By way of the ability, the power of music, Elisha was able to go into simcha. ולהשרת השכינה, to have the Shekhinah dwell upon him. And then you have to pray. This is one page left. And then you have to pray. You have to pray. The main thing, the main avoda, the main success is only by way of requesting it and praying for it. And you have to ask like this. Zakeni avi liyot samech tamid be'emet. Merit me, my father, to constantly be truly happy. Ki besimcha tluya avoda kula. Simcha, all of my avodat Hashem, all of my service of Hashem is completely dependent on simcha. Like the Arizal said, like the Chida said, that all of the madrigot that they got to were because of simcha. It's the one thing. It's the one thing that connects all 613 mitzvot, including the mitzvahs of mourning and all of the hard things that we're told in the Torah, divorce and everything, right? Inyan atzar al achurban. Last thing. Right? What do? At a wedding? It's funny because my wife's at a wedding, right now. But what do we do at a wedding? Al rosh simchati. At the height of my happiness, what do? We remember Yerushalayim. So here, we just got to the end of the chapter on happiness. Time for Yerushalayim. יש לי שואל, לא מעט, מעט החורבן, יש לי טבל על בית המקדש, ואיך נשמח כאשר בית קודשנו חרב? Since the time of the חורבן, the rabbis tell us that we're not meant to be happy. We're not meant to be בשמחה. If you go look in the הלכות of Tisha B'Av, it says there are the 3 weeks and everything. Not Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, Rosh Chodesh Av and everything. That the idea that we're not meant to listen to music. So it says there, for those who are makil to listen to music throughout the whole entire year, it's fitting that in this time they shouldn't. Right? For those who are lenient to listen to music all 350 days of the year, and these 5 days, and these 9 days, right? You should try your best not to. Meaning, it's a leniency that we're even allowed to listen to music throughout the year. Since, how are we meant to be happy when we don't have the house of Hashem is destroyed and the whole world's in galut? How could I even allow myself to get to happiness? You're telling me now we've learned 2 weeks about happiness. What's the clarification of this idea? Al tismach Yisrael al gil be'amim. El tismach Yisrael al gil be'amim. I don't know this pasuk. Al tismach Yisrael, it makes more sense. Al gil be'amim. Oh, don't be happy Israel. And don't be happy in the nations. Dainu asur yisroach besimcha stam. Meaning you're not allowed to just stam be happy. You're not allowed for some nonsense to be happy. Kmo goyim shesmechim betoch tchushuat shlemut gashmit. The goyim feel some kind of perfection, some physical perfection. We won the championship. Our team won. Right? They completed something. Right? The on top of the world, what do they do now? Parade down the city, drinking, knocking down beers and all this. Right? Simcha for what? Stam. It's not. Right? Kein Yisrael shlemut gashmit. Am Yisrael, we have no physical perfection. Right now. As long as the temple is destroyed, we do not take it out of your brain. There's no such thing as completion.
It's,
huh?
It's very clear. It's very like
it's in your face. Aval simcha shel mitzvah, simcha of a mitzvah, being enjoyed that I'm connected to Hashem, muteret u'mechuyevet, is not only permittable, it's obligated. You have to.
Even during the 9 days.
Huh?
Even during the 9 days.
Even during the 9 days.
Yeah,
right, so. What is simcha of a mitzvah? Simcha in Hashem. Simcha b'avodato, being happy that I'm able to serve Hashem and be connected to Him. And therefore, nichlal ba gam simcha stam. Therefore, included in that, you can also take a simcha stam and include it in that. Im kavanato liftoach et hanefesh lisimcha. If your intention is to open your heart up for simcha, mitoch retzon la'agi le'ma'alat ha'simcha. From a desire to get to this lofty level of what's called simcha, I might be able to enjoy myself at a wedding, or on a steak, or a nice glass of wine. If I'm having the glass of wine in order to open my heart to get to this lofty level of simcha, but a glass, right, or a little bit in moderation. Why? Because it's for a internal goal of simcha. It's not for a stam. I can use the stam included in my simcha shebe mitzvah. But if it's about the stam, then that's not. That's like the goyim. So what is this whole entire idea of mourning? Rachmana litzlan. Eno shayach klal la'atzvut. Has nothing to do with depression. And that's important. You have to know it. Depression is a complete isur. It's 100% forbidden to be depressed. According to Torah. Forbidden. ועוד, כי באמת מה שייך להיות עצוב? Why would you even be upset? Why would you even be depressed? הרי האמת היא שהכל מאיתו ידבח. Everything's from Hashem, that's the truth. And whatever he does is only for the good. And how could it be that you have an obligation to mourn and to show the opposite of emunah, that everything Hashem does is for the good? That can't be part of it. What is proper mourning? It's this longing. I'm not going to go more into this because we did do like three classes on this during the Ben Hizmanim. But again, what is mourning? Mourning is longing for more. So too now. We don't have a temple. How can we be happy? We have to be happy in the fact that we're connected to Hashem and we have the ability to do mitzvahs. So then how do we mourn? And how are we mourning the loss of the temple and the fact that the world is not in Shlemut and that Am Yisrael will never reach Shlemut without a temple? How could we mourn that? How? Because mourning doesn't mean I'm depressed. Mourning doesn't mean I'm sad. Mourning means that I'm longing for something that I don't have. I'm longing for a Beit HaMikdash. That doesn't mean I'm depressed. I might cry even, but it's not from a crying of depression. It's not a cry that I'm disagreeing with the world right now. It's a crying because I know what should be and what Hashem also wants, and it's not here and I long for it. I want it. But for sure, we're not allowed to be depressed. Mitzvah gedolah liyot besimchat tamid. It's a great mitzvah, a great way to connect to Hashem, to constantly be in a state of happiness. And we have to really, this is probably going to go down as top five most important things that we can ever work on in our lives. If not top three, if not number one. Right? Because like he said here, like the Arizal said, like the Chida said, like Rabbi Nachman says, this is everything. If you're depressed, you're not going to talk to Hashem, you're not going to put on tefillin, you're not going to do any of those things. And if you're in besimcha, the opposite, you're going to run around the city putting tefillin on other people and constantly talking to Hashem, right? So we have to really have to work on this. We're not allowed to let ourselves get down. And Bezat Hashem, may all of Am Yisrael come to full simcha. Binyan Beit Mikdashenu, Mashiach Tidkenu, Bimra V'Yamenu. Amen.